The wrestling match. When you think about the wrestling match, the first thing that hits my mind is battling fear. You look across at the opponent that you're about to face, and he may look stronger, he may look bigger, he may look better. You gotta learn how to embrace the struggle, embrace the fight, the blood, the sweat, the tears, the time, the training, the discipline, the dedication, the self-control. All comes down to this moment.
The voice that you're hearing is that of former world wrestling champion Dan Russell. And we're not talking about WWE and the type of wrestling made popular for scripted storylines and entertainment, but the type of wrestling which is considered to be the oldest documented sport in the world, one that gladiators employed in front of blood-hungry crowds in packed coliseums, and a competition where athletes are shortly set to go to battle at the Olympic Games in Paris. I'm Rajiv Gupta, and this is a documentary on the BBC World Service. In this episode of Heart and Soul, which explores personal approaches to spirituality from around the world, I'm in Jordan, meeting Dan and his wife Joy, who moved here from the US 5 years ago. Dan has been wrestling not only in sport, but throughout his life. I'm meeting him as he undergoes his latest fight, as he tries to get over past traumas and find healing through his faith and humanitarian work in the Middle East.
Hallo wala hayela idfadl. Welcome to Jordan. This is my home. I want to welcome you to my home.
Wow. Well, you've certainly embraced the culture. I feel like I've walked into not an American's home, but a Jordanian's home. It's got pattern, textile, sofas. You've got some beautiful paintings. It must be very different to what you were used to growing up in the States.
It's very different. We love the people. We love the culture here. And so our house, which is an apartment, it's just a flat, but we bought it. And when we bought it, it came with the furniture. It came with some of these unique designs that just remind us where we live and our love for the people and the culture here.
So we're in your apartment. It's based on a hill, one of the many hills here in Jordan. And each hill has its own personality, doesn't it?
Jordan was originally built on 7 hills, now encompasses more than 21 hills. But we live on one of the original hills. It's called Jabal al-Webde. From a Jordanian, this is kind of the romantic hill because it's the hill of the culture of the community. Got a lot of the art galleries and musicians and restaurants and things that kind of give the life of people that live here in Amman, Jordan.
Yeah, so when you were growing up in the USA, did you ever imagine one day you'll be spending your better years out in Amman, in Jordan?
Well, so to give you a little perspective, being born in Idaho, I grew up in a town of 440 people. It was built around a Mexican migrant camp. My brother and I were the two gringos. We were the two white boys in a mostly Mexican community. And so people that live there, it's a farming community. You grow up there, you live there, you don't really leave there. Being a white kid in a Hispanic community was not necessarily a popular thing.
Did you have to learn to fight from a young age?
Yeah, that was the culture I grew up in. I also grew up with my parents. My dad was a wrestling coach, and he was a pastor. So there were two things in my life. One was my faith, and the other was this wrestling aspect. We started training in the third grade, 4 to 6 hours a day, 6 days a week. I couldn't score on anybody in the club program that we were part of. Everyone in our club program was winning national or world championships for their age group. And I was at the beginning, and I would cry all the way to practice. I'd cry all the way through practice. I'd cry all the way home from practice. My coach, who was a Russian, his name was Pavel Katzen. Pavel said, you're never going to be any good. He watched me for 3 years crying every day for hours. And something switched. And I thought, I've spent 3 years here getting beat on, and I'm still here. I didn't give up. I didn't quit. I kept fighting. I kept struggling. And they've thrown everything at me in these last 3 years. And I don't know, that something switched in my mind. And I from that day forward, I was beating everybody in the room that had been beating on me for 3 years.
Well, what is it about Dan Russell that made him stay there for 3 years? Because I've got two young kids who were probably similar age to what you were there. And I'm constantly saying, you've got to keep at this when they're doing their sports and they want to drop out. And I'll be honest, they have dropped out of a number of sports. What kept you going? And to eventually go on to become world champion?
You know, I think as a kid, you want your dad to be proud of you. I wanted my dad to be proud. I had a brother, a year younger than me. We trained together every day. I wanted my brother having success, so then I wanted to have the success. And we kind of pushed each other to that level. We helped grow each other up in that. My dad put a wrestling mat in our house. We would go train 4 to 6 hours at a club. On the way home, 3 to 5 miles from home, he'd stop the car and say, get out. You're running the rest of the way home. We'd get home. Mom would prepare a little meal. We would eat a little bit. And then my dad would have us watch films from our practice. And then we'd be in that living room where we had our wrestling mat. And he'd have us working on the things that that we struggled with during the 4 to 6 hours that we were in the club. So there was always extra things. There was always more. If you wanted to be better than the guys in the room, we had to be doing more than the guys were doing in the room. And his passion, his love for the sport. My dad looked at wrestling not as a sport for us. This is not a sport, this is your job. This art gallery.
So we're just walking out of your apartment now in the baking heat of the Jordanian sunshine in the afternoons, around 35 degrees. And every step you take in, every sort of viewpoint that you get, you really do feel like you're stepping on some part of history, a magical story.
It's all under your feet. And every day when I'm out walking, that's what I think. I wonder what is under the ground here. I wonder who stepped here before me.
I mean, once you buy, you're certainly laying down roots, aren't you?
We have our roots here where my wife has learned the language. She's amazing. I mean, people here are blown away, not just by her vocabulary, but her dialect. I would say I didn't get that gift.
I've heard you get by okay. They seem to enjoy your Arabic.
So my Arabic is, I have a lot of sayings, what they call tabirs, that spoke to me. For whatever reason, those are the things that stick. My favorite saying here in Jordan is Yatikila afia lagidma masheti jaja hafia, which means may God bless your feet like a barefooted chicken. And the idea is this: if a barefooted chicken is taken care of, if God will take care of a barefooted chicken, he's going to take care of you.
I don't know if it has the same power in English.
We're going to turn right down here, down these stairs. This is heading us towards the art gallery, where the president of the Arab Bank...
Dan, we've just done that. What was a beautiful walk, hilly, so get your heart rate pumping, and past some wonderful galleries and a house where Lawrence of Arabia once lived. But we've come to what certainly does look like an old Roman historic spot with iconic Roman columns in front of me. Why have you brought me here?
This place is the ruins of an ancient church called St. George that was built in the 500s. But as you can see, there's no walls left. This is 2 minutes from my house. So in the mornings, I'll get up and I'll just come and sit and listen. I said, God, what do you want to show me today? What are you wanting to teach me? What is something that I need to be dealing with in my own life? I would have some difficult things I grew up with, but I don't have to stay stuck there. I get to move forward, and I get to write a different story. Shame wants you to hide. And the more you hide and run from it, the tighter the noose.
What were you running from, Dan?
One, I mean, bringing me here was confronting things in my marriage. There's things that I did that caused my wife trauma that I'm not proud of, that are hard things. And yet the two of us choosing to say, no, let's go face it. Let's walk this through together. Hurting people hurt people. I had three different people, actually, that had abused me as a child. You're 5 years old and you're being abused. sexually abused my neighbors. And then I had an uncle that lived with me that didn't sexually abuse me, but was very physically abusive. And he would tell me every day, he said, there's three things I want you to tell me every day. I want you to tell me you're no good. No one will ever love you, and you'll never amount to anything. And he would beat me until I would tell him those three things every day. And we've all been broken, every one of us. And it takes a willingness to kind of open yourself up and say, okay, I've got stuff that I need to deal with. I've made choices that are healthy. And so how do I get back in a direction that is good and healthy for me?
I want to know, Dan, where was your father in all this during this time? Because he was everything in your life at that point in terms of creating the structures of who you were, the wrestling. But another part of him was he was a pastor, and his job was to administer pastoral care to the people around him. But yet his own son, you, seemed to me to have needed it the most.
So growing up, my dad was my hero. I looked up to my dad. My favorite thing was going on Sunday mornings and listening to my dad. Every morning we would have early morning prayer times, and I honor my dad. I also have to be honest, and you can be both. There were some things in my life where my dad didn't do well. When I was a sophomore in high school, my dad ended up leaving my family, married another woman, raised another family. All the things that he had taught us as kids, it seemed like, on the surface, that he had walked away from those things, those truths, those things that we were supposed to hold true.
Did that not shake your own faith and your own Christianity, knowing that your dad, a man of God, could do something like that?
Absolutely. So when I went to college, my first year in college, I remember saying out loud to God, God, thanks, but no thanks. I want to do life my way. Again, life is some of this wilderness wandering that is a journey, and it's layer upon layer. And though I turned my back on God, God never turned his back on me. So much so that I was wildly successful. I looked really good on the outside, but I was dying on the inside. And I would win four NCAA titles, set records in the U.S., and then look at my titles and trophies and go, oh, I've just spent these last 4 years living a life that wins a lot of trophies and medals and titles and in the papers and in the media, and it's empty. And so for me, this picture is, I don't want my life, again, built on temporary things. Trophies, titles, medals, things that collect dust. But how do I give my life to those things that are eternal, those things that last forever and ever and ever? And one of those things are the people that are around us, the living stones. So I can sit here and look at these old stones that now are crumbled and in ruins, but God, what is it you're wanting to do in my life and the people that you put around me, where I can encourage them and we build community together? This is a holy place for me.
Dan and I have traveled across Amman to the Wrestling Federation of Jordan. Dan is currently working for Wrestling for Peace, which he now heads up. It carries out humanitarian projects, and he also helps mentor young athletes here.
This is very proud of what they're doing. We have now over 30 girls that are training with the different clubs and different things, but this is our elite of our elite of our girls.
We love India movies when we was young kids.
This guy can sing you Bollywood. Would you give him a little Bollywood song?
No.
So Saleh is the very first Arab champion for Jordan, and he is also the first to win a world championship at the World Veterans.
That's right. And I have a very good relationship with Mr. Dan. Without him, I would never be world champ. Actually, he gave me a lot of wisdom, and he gave me motivation and everything. And we love God, and I practice my own religion, and everything is fine, and he practices his own. We are best friends. We're here like a brothers and family.
We see wrestling as a tool, as a gift from God.
Yes.
if we listen to the news and we listen to the media, oftentimes, this guy would be my enemy.
Exactly.
And yet, we have more in common than we have that's different between us.
Exactly. We leave the politics separate. People will just hear like a Muslim as he's a Christian. Sometimes he go pray with me. If he invite, he never invite me to his church, I'm mad. If he invite me, I will go with him. And always together, and never thought about he's a Christian. I thought always we brother, we family. Whatever he need here, I'm here for him. And he always support us. That's it. We just best friend.
You're listening to Heart and Soul on the BBC World Service with me, Rajiv Gupta. I'm in Jordan meeting former world wrestling champion Dan Russell. One of Dan's most painful sporting memories is missing out on not one, but two consecutive Olympic Games through injury. Dan did finally realise his lifelong dream of going to an Olympic Games as a coach some years later.
I mean, I think in some ways to say my dream was shattered might be an understatement. I mean, it was devastating, my own Olympic career, because that had been the whole dream. But to see not just an invitation to get to go and be a part of the Olympics, I got to go and I was working with Guam and we're at the Olympics in Athens, Greece, where this whole thing started. I'm sitting in the stadium and I just begin to cry. The beauty is not in the gold medal. The beauty is not in the final outcome. The beauty, it really is in the journey to make it to that arena.
Continue on Route 35 for 15 kilometers.
So we're just driving through the mountains and hills of Jordan, and either side of this freshly tarmacked road are barren lands dotted with evergreen pine trees. Occasionally we pass some olive trees, which is kind of the national export of Jordan, sending olives throughout the world. And Joy Russell, Dan's wife, is kindly our designated driver. She's the only one brave enough to drive on the roads here. Dan, you don't do too much driving, Dan.
Not at all. My wife, she does a phenomenal job of navigating the roads of Jordan.
Joy, when Dan woke up, I don't know, 6 years ago, whenever it was now, and said, I've had this dream that he was destined to be here, that wasn't just moving him, that was moving you, that was leaving behind four beautiful children that you have at home. For you, that must have been a bit of a shock, a really difficult decision.
Yeah, we were sure that we were going to have a base somewhere in the United States. And so when he woke up and said, I believe we're moving to Jordan, it was this, on one hand, this exhilaration, and on one hand, this kind of impossibility. Like, how does that even work? We had entertained going places around the world, but to be honest, I'd never even imagined coming to a place like Jordan, to the Middle East. And I think partly because of what we hear in the news and what we see in films, there is a fear. And of course, then thinking about how far we would be from family and friends. This was not a small move. This was a life-changing moment.
I mean, your youngest would have been, I think, 19? When you did that, that was a huge thing as a mother to say, look, okay, Dan and I are going to move. What was that like as a parent, and how did that work with the kids?
I could definitely sense that all four of the kids were receiving the news uniquely and processing it. I think the older three, because they had already been to college, they were beginning to move into careers. They took the news much easier. Our youngest daughter, just having finished high school and really not having a direction, she took the news more difficult, and I don't think she understood it, and I don't think we understood how deep it really was for her and for us to be leaving her at such a defining moment in her life.
How has that kind of work since?
Well, she went through a journey herself, feeling like, I think in some ways, feeling like she'd been abandoned a bit, and looking for a place of familiarity, looking for a place to belong. And it took her on a journey that I think she's still figuring out. But I'm so proud that she has kept her head up. She's a champion. She's a go-getter. She's a fighter. And we've maintained connection. And maybe we've even seen our children more now than we would have if we'd been in the States, because every one of them is in a different state, living their lives with careers. And it's just hard. It's hard to keep families together in this present culture where we can literally work anywhere in the world.
For Dan, the motivation, the eventual drive to come here was a religious one. What was the drive for you?
Well, I would say that everything about my decisions is based in a deep faith and a deep trust in that there is a God that guides us and directs us. And so I think, yes, I definitely moved with an anticipation that if this is happening, it's because God wants this. Did I know what we were going to face? Did I really understand what the invitation was? Absolutely not.
Wow, this is beautiful. So we've taken a seat by the ancient Jabbok River, which is around an hour from central Amman. It's a beautiful setting here. The river flows in front of us. There's a shepherd who has around 50 goats, a couple of donkeys as well. And we're also around just 20 miles from the Israeli border here. Dan, why have you brought me to this particular spot?
I've brought you to a very significant place, especially as a wrestler. It was on the banks of the Jabbok River that one of the most epic wrestling matches in all of human history happened. This is where Jacob wrestled with God. And it's significant because Jacob was a deceiver. He was a liar. He was a trickster. And he would be confronted with who he is on this riverbed here, on the banks. And in the midst of his struggle with God, he finds who his identity is. And I think for all of us, there's this invitation in that, that God wants us to wrestle with him. He wants us to ask the hard questions. He doesn't want us to go and hide in our shame or to run from him. He wants us to run towards him.
Dan, coming here to Jordan is clearly part of your healing process. From all those traumas that we've talked about, where do you feel like you are on that journey now?
There are memories and things that for 50 years I'd put away. Didn't want to think about them, didn't want to face them. And when you begin to deal with those things head on, it's hard. One of the most traumatic things as a kid growing up is my dad having an affair, leaving my mom, our family being shattered in that moment. 10 years later, my dad is talking to me, and he said, that call to tell people about God and to be a shepherd, to be a pastor. He said, I can't do that anymore because of the sin, because of the choices that I made. And I could feel his shame in that statement. And then years after that, here's my dad in his latter years, and a local church had come to him and said, would you be our pastor? Now, my dad hadn't pastored in 20 plus years, and I watched my dad step back in to that church and begin to speak to people and care for people at a much greater depth than I'd ever seen, because my dad had walked through this process of healing in his own life and still in that journey. My dad, his last message he ever preached, my dad has passed away. He got up in front of the church and he said, I don't want to alarm you. He said, today is going to be my last message. This is the last time you're going to hear from me. And I'm here in Jordan and I'm listening to the message online. My dad had advanced Parkinson's disease. My dad couldn't even dress himself. His wife had to dress him that morning to get to church. He said, people keep asking me, what is God saying in this season? And he said, I felt it was so important that I come this morning to share with you what I sense God is saying. And then my dad looked at each person in the room and he called them out by name. And he said, this is what God is saying. I love you. And my dad called me and he said, I don't have much time left. He says, I don't want you to come back. I don't need a funeral. He said, I just want you to know that I love you and I know that you love me. So that's healing. But these are the things that I think walking through in this journey of life, as I know there's listeners that are listening, there are things in their own life. As I'm sharing my story, their story's popping up. And I would say, don't run from it. Don't hide from it. Turn and get curious and enter the fight. Enter the wrestling match. Just like Jacob entered the wrestling match right here on the banks of the ancient Jabbok River. I think we're all invited to be in that place. That's where you find healing, when you confront these things head on.
Heart and Soul is produced and presented by me, Rajiv Gupta.